Hey, welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. Today, I am going to be a war expert, a foreign relations expert. I have now transitioned from being a medical expert. And we're going to talk about the things that are going on in the world right now. Just recently, Russia invaded Ukraine, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of noise out there, particularly when thinking of this podcast. I wanted to make it more lighthearted, you know, try to ease some tensions out there in the world. I also want to raise some question and thoughts. Again, you know, like I'm not going to say that I know everything, and I don't want this to be an entire podcast of showing you how much that I know or how much of that I assume. I feel like there's so much information flying around, and then people are quick to react and choose sides and things of that nature. So on this episode, one of the focuses is I'm just going to shit on woke takes and laugh at the current state of the Western world. Now, me laughing at it, I know the actual content in this podcast could be quite disturbing. And just knowing the state of the Western world and in the midst of war, it's not very comforting. However, laughter is medicine, and not in any disrespect to the lives affected or anything like that, but pointing out the absurdity of things can be a medicine in some way. So my invitation to you is listen to this podcast if you want a little bit of truth and if you want to laugh a little bit. Don't listen to this podcast if seeing the absurdity of humans would put you in a bad emotional state. That's all I gotta say, because there's some fucking odd woke takes here, and some of it is, I guess, would be borderline offensive to people. Sorry I offended you. That's why the podcast is Sorry I Offended You. But let's start here. I want to start with a post that I made on Instagram. And I reposted this tweet from this guy, Luis Angeles. Hopefully I said his name right. Sorry if I didn't. He said, "I do not stand with the Ukraine government, and I do not stand with the Russian government. I stand with the innocent men, women, and children who did not want this war and who will directly be harmed by actions of their tyrannical governments." And then I added in the caption here, I said, "Something doesn't feel quite right to me when people immediately side with a country to support in a conflict they know nothing about. I don't know why we're posting up flags and picking a team like this as a sport. I'm still learning about this situation, but isn't this pick-a-side mentality perpetuating the cycle of war humanity is in? Also, please cut the crap if you're blindly voting for globalists who profit off wars." So that is my serious take on this whole situation. This entire situation is highly nuanced. And I feel like a lot of people are just kind of scratching the surface and reacting to what they hear in the media. When the media has lied to us for, you know, even looking at these past 2 years, it's obvious that the corporate media was the least institution that you would want to trust. And people are blindly following this. And the thing that grinds my gears about this thing is that the people who are most outraged about war are the same people that voted for globalists, voted for the war industrial complex on the vote ticket that they made for this country, for instance, for Joe Biden, and don't have a real grasp on what goes behind these wars. And then we blindly say the virtuous thing to do is to put a flag up. Now, does this mean I'm in defense of the Ukraine people? And I think it's just a horrifying thought to see an invading country roll through your neighborhood. I think that is horrifying, and I'm in support of the people, just like the tweet that I shared. Now, but it just seems like in the Western world, we just fall under, like, how can we virtue signal the most in this moment? and the actions are not fucking congruent with the virtue signaling. Because if we're really looking, and this, if we're really looking at the voting actions of people, if we look at the past few, you know, past few decades, Clinton was a war president. George W. Bush was a war president. Obama was a war president. And then we had the least amount of war activity under Trump. That's not saying that I am all in full support of everything that Trump does. That doesn't mean anything of that nature. I know there's a bad stigma attached to that. I know that we've been convinced that Trump was the worst thing that has ever happened to America. But one thing stands clear, that he was not involved in the globalist, unless he was sneakily involved with the globalist agenda. But looking at it, there was 3 peace deals created in the Middle East during his term. And there was that conflict between that Iranian leader. And that's about it with like new wars or new conflicts breaking out. A lot of people don't know this, but George W. Bush was a war criminal, and so much went under George W. Bush. But actually, I think a lot of people, including myself in the past, had this perception that Obama was less war happy than George W. Bush. But actually, Obama being in office, we actually more conflict was created. And there was kill list and drone strikes over villages. And the thing that fucking gets me, and I know this is, it's a bit on topic, but a little off topic of the particular Russia situation, but you'll get what I'm saying here. The thing that fucking irks me is that people think like, you know, for instance, Obama or Biden is like decency back in the White House. Like people were even forgetting about COVID and dancing in the streets. Love and unity is restored. But they're supporting this. They like, but the media doesn't tell them about the kill list and the drone strikes and the massacre of countries that were caused by these leaders. So they act like, so it's like it doesn't exist in their world. So then the media just tells them to be outraged by Ukraine and then post their fucking Ukraine flag on their Instagram or Facebook in unity for the peaceful side. But that takes out so much nuance of the actual situation and is hypocritical when our own country, you were voting for the same people that supported kill list and drone strikes and the hurt, you know, the harm toward children across seas. But suddenly we're supposed to be outraged as if this is this fucking, you know, like, I can't believe this is happening, brand new thing. Like, that's a frustration that I have, because like the same people who are flabbergasted and shocked about this whole situation are going to vote the same exact way 6 months from now and 2 years from now. And they're probably going to go on their pressuring all their friends tours of like why it's so important to vote for peace and unity and shit, even though they're voting for fucking globalists that profit off of these fucking wars. It's mind numbing. And I get, and I'm not saying this in particular to like, be an asshole to people who, voted for globalists. Like, I'm not saying that, and I know there's a lot of peer pressure, and a lot of people want to do the right things, and a lot of people vote with their emotions. It's just an invitation to look deeper into what the actual fuck you're voting for and supporting, because what people are saying are, it's like backwards world. It's like what people are fighting for, what decency is. It's actually inhumane. Like underneath the surface, there's inhumane shit going on behind the decency. And I can relate in a way because, you know, it's like with libertarian values that I've had, something that I would always say is like, well, I'm socially liberal. And by definition, yes, I guess that's true because I believe in liberty. I believe in individual rights. I believe in humanity and things of that nature. But socially, you know, the left has represented everything but liberalism. So, you know, I've talked about that before. So anyway, that's my thing. And I don't know the exact specifics of this conflict, but the things that I do know about this is that, for one, it's more nuanced than painting one country bad and one country good. It's just more nuanced than that. And if you're just reacting in a way of picking a side of a country, I just think that it's short-sighted and just scratching the surface and actually putting on a good image rather than questioning things and digging deeper. Another thing that comes into play that kind of challenges the mainstream narrative around this is that the Biden family has done some criminal activity and some, you know, horrible deals with the Ukraine government. So, like, I just wish we'd learn our fucking lesson before being coaxed into picking a side. And what I mean is we were coaxed as Americans by the Bush administration about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We all know, like, hopefully we all know by now that that wasn't true. And then we sacrifice lives and make these sacrifices for people who aren't making sacrifices themselves. So basically, there's a call for us as humans, which, by the way, humans have been violated in this country. You know, our rights have been violated for the past 2 years. Now we're being asked to make a sacrifice. Now we're being asked to make a sacrifice for what could be, or at least a portion or a percentage of this whole conflict, is personal interest by the family that is in the White House right now. That's not saying that, you know, that's not saying that, like, in some situations it may, you know, in a certain situation of however this conflict goes, that the best decision is to defend Ukraine. But what I'm saying is there's personal interest here, and there's alarms that go off in my mind with the propaganda that's going on. You know, there's something not quite right. And then something else, Obama made a statement on Twitter, and I'm not going to get into reading it. You can look at his Twitter handle if you want to read further. But something, it just feels like this energy of convincing people to pick a side. And I'm just trying to think of, like, when's the last time where we had to be persuaded of what side to take on a conflict that is overseas that doesn't, you know, at least, I don't know if I want to say directly, but, like, our country is not yet fully involved in yet. I just don't, like, it. The energy of, like, trying to convince people and telling people to openly defend Ukraine, it just, there's something off about it. There's just something off about it. And I'm not saying this to be anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia. I'm not picking a side in this situation. I'm just saying that the propaganda, there's something not quite right about it. There's something weird about it. And just, you know, just backtracking to my Brené Brown podcast, I'm not going into the absolutes. I'm just saying, like, my spider sense is tingling. You know, I don't know. There's just not something right. I just need more information. I need to see what's going to progress out of this. I need to see what the move is. Like, I take everything with a grain of salt, and I suggest other people to do the same instead of falling into this reaction mode. And then lastly, you know, like, something else I'm against is, like, people telling other people, whenever there's a situation, like this whole concept of you shouldn't sell in your business when something's going on in the world. You're supposed to talk about this or else. Like, it's just like demanding people to talk about stuff or whatever. I'm getting a phone call. I would like to return this call, but I'm doing a podcast. Shout out to Brother Daniel. I'll call you back. I'm doing a podcast right now. My friend Daniel, he's not on the social medias. I don't see him on the social media, so it's good to get a call from him, see what's up with him. So anyway, That's my fucking thoughts. That's my personal thoughts. It's like, I don't want to complete my overall perception of this situation because I'm in the don't know. And I think this conflict is more complex. Do I want a country invading in another country? No. But do I know what provoked them? No. Do I want innocent people involved in the middle of all this? Hell no. I don't want the conflict. And I think, honestly, I think humanity, I just feel like we should, you know, if it were my choice, we should be all evolved past war by now. Like this is just ridiculous that we have to solve our problems with war. I'm against war. I'm pro peace. And I think we should transcend above this. And sometimes I get the perspective of people wanting to be just heart-centered and peaceful. Now, that's where I want to be. However, there's also this aspect of facing reality. And when it comes to facing reality, I'm not so confident in my own country anymore. I'm not so confident in the culture of our country anymore. And I'm not so confident in the leadership. I'm definitely not confident in the leadership. Like, we have somebody who cannot, like, retain a thought. We're looking at improving our optics over actually being people that can defend themselves. And it just makes me very wary. Like, you know, the state and the mindset. We are in a society of weak minds. And the thing is would I love to be in this utopia where there is no war and it is all peace? Absolutely. Would I love to be in this utopia where we can just chill on the beach and drink coconut water and we don't have to worry about being invaded or fighting? Absolutely. However, we're not in that utopia quite yet. And masculine men are important. I've been preaching this. Hopefully some people get this across their fucking heads that disagree with me and think I'm a psycho or think that I'm a misogynist or whatever the fuck they think. We need masculine men. We need warriors. We need men that are in touch with their inner warrior. You know? In fact, like, I don't even see myself as like an alpha bro. I'm not that type of guy. I'm not that guy. But it's so weird when, you know, my biggest critics that are, I guess, lacking in masculinity, they perceive me as this alpha guy who beats on his chest and smashes beer cans to his head. I'm not that guy. I just like eating ribeye, you know? I'm going to defend my family. I don't understand where this became a toxic trait. And I understand that the whole toxic masculinity thing is talking about the toxic traits that people lash out. But my argument to that is that's a lack of masculinity. Because if you are in touch with your masculine being, then you are a protector and you have, you know, you have your emotion, you're grounded in your emotions. You're like a solid rock. You're a mountain. You got your shit together. You know what I mean? So, yeah, just some things to consider. Just like, before we get into the meme side of this podcast, just the things to consider is consider, you know, the connections that, you know, the corrupt transactions that go on between the U.S. government and Ukraine, that needs to be considered. Consider that it's not black and white thinking. Like, conflict, you know, in many cases, conflict doesn't just burst out of control because one side is absolutely evil and one side is absolutely good. There's actually nuance here. So think before picking a side, because, you know, I feel like when we pick sides like they're fucking sports teams, it perpetuates war. You know, it's like actually in support of war. Like, you're telling yourself that you're scared of conflict and you want peace, but then you throw up a set of something that you don't quite know about. Like, I can understand if, like, you're personally involved in this situation and there's some skin in the game and you're actually aware of more of what's going on in the nuance here. But like someone that lives across the seas and this just this fucking situation just hit your radar, and then the media just tells you to throw up the set that they tell you to. It just seems disingenuous, and it just seems like added noise to the collective conversation. I'm not against people talking about whatever the fuck they want. I'm live and let live. But for the love of God, you know, look deeper and question things, please. And question more of who you vote for. And here's a, you know, here's a hint. Here's a fucking hint. If you're voting for people who are affiliated with the World Economic Forum, you're probably not voting against war. And you're probably not voting for peace, regardless of how many colors they put on a fucking rainbow flag, or, you know, regardless of what they say they stand for. You got to look deeper under the hood of what their affiliations are, what they profit off of, etc. And I'm not saying that I know all the dynamics in this particular situation of, you know, how the World Economic Forum is playing. I'm not saying that, you know, if I know that this wouldn't have happened if Joe Biden wasn't the president of America, you know, because this is a conflict that is far away from America. I know I'm a self-centered American. I know my scope is limited, but we're probably better off having leadership that's not tied to the World Economic Forum and not having leadership that will give in to the war industrial complex and keep America in war over and over and over again. It might help. It's not going to solve everything, but it's helpful. So, and one more thing that I do know. I know it's a horrible fucking strategy in leadership to make threats and then not follow through on them. And that's what the administration of the United States does. We make these open threats and then our enemies call our bluff. It's like, if you're going to be effective in foreign relations, not that I'm a huge foreign relation expert, but I do know this, you keep your fucking strategy private. And if you're going to make a threat, you need to know that you're going to follow through on it. Because if you don't follow through, if you make empty threats and then you don't follow through, then the other person sees weakness and then you just sabotage your whole fucking thing. So, glad that I got that off my chest. Okay, so let's go into the memes here. Let's have some fun here. So, I don't know what's going on. All I know is when this whole thing jumped off, that my whole Twitter was flooded with fuckery. Like, I don't even know if these are bots. I mean, some of this looks real. And maybe one or two of these things are trolls. But it's just the disconnect of our reaction to conflict. You know, conflict not close to us, but conflict in general. Who's that fucking celebrity? That's because first we're going to go here. If I were Putin's mom. All right. So there's this video out there by Anna Lynn McCord. She's some actress. I don't know. And, you know, celebrity fuckery here. And you can watch it later. It's called Dear Putin, If I Was Your Mother. By actress Anna Lynn McCord. So this is like the best response so far that we have as a country is to lecture Vladimir Putin with wokeness, saying that if I was your mother, he would be more of a loving man and you wouldn't get into war. And it's just like, Jesus. Like, what we've lost the plot so much. Like, I get, and I'll play devil's advocate here. I get it. Like, I get the whole thing. If, like, maybe, I don't know how Putin was raised, but maybe if he was raised and was loved more and hugged more and all that stuff, maybe he wouldn't want to conquer. But to use this as a response, just shows how out of touch we are. And, you know, how, you know, not to bring this into a dark scenario, but like how society has deteriorated from within, where it's like, we're so out of touch. We're so out of touch. And hopefully, like, hopefully this is at least a reality check, you know, for people. But I don't know. I don't think it is. Then you got, so you got that video. She basically went on a she basically described the poem for 2 minutes, talking about if she was Putin's mom. That's great. And what the hell's going on down there? Okay, so anyway, I got things going on. Let's see, what's going on around the house? I hear doors closing. Okay, so anyway. So she does that poem, and we got some more weird responses and things of that nature. Okay, so where do we want to go here? Joy Behar on The View. She expressed that she was upset that she hasn't been able to enjoy Italy for 4 years because of the pandemic, even though it's been 2 years. And now the conflict in Europe is going to like ruin her her desire to go on a vacation in Italy. So that's what she's thinking about. That's how out of touch people are. So there's that. I just can't. Now there's this tweet from Janelle Forsyth. And this is what happens when you look at real world conflict through a woke lens. And this is, I might not be a full foreign policy expert, but I am an expert in pointing out fuckery. And so Janelle Forsyth says, tweets out, "This isn't discussed much, but Putin very much benefits from white privilege. I just can't see a scenario in which a black or brown man running Russia would be allowed to invade Ukraine with no devastating consequences. White supremacy will destroy us all." This is a problem when you look at life through that lens. You just say dumb shit. I just can't. But it gets worse. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know which one of these tweets are worse. But there's more. Just wait, there's more. Dana, I don't know how to say her last name. like, this is so ridiculous. Like, you would hope one of these people are trolls, but the line, there's blurring of the line between trolling and real takes. Real hot takes. "A lot of people in Ukraine crowding together inside. Only 35% of Ukrainians have been vaccinated. Less than 2% have been boosted." So we're still thinking of vaccines. It's like the whole concept of like I just don't understand what rewired in people's mind to like when there's a hurricane or a disaster or war coming, and they're like, "Well, the best way to protect us from this is to get vaccinated." Like, I don't know. Okay, so another one. This all happened in the day. Like, it just, like, it's a woke implosion. And I think people need to laugh with me. You know, have a good laugh. Look at the absurdity of these tweets. But, man, society as a whole, we need to all come together and see this association and what's going on with our own dialogue as, you know, we need to like clean things up here. Like we need to get our perspective back. We need to get grounded. We need to, you know, really look at reality here. We can't be like virtue signaling when there's actual conflict. Virtue signaling is not going to save you from actual conflict. Anyway, fucking Angela Bel Camino. This person is popular on Twitter. I don't know how she got popular, but she's just like very, she just, whatever. Like, she does these dances and stuff. Like, she did a dance to say fuck Donald Trump, and it just looked awkward to me. But anyway, fucking Angela Bel Camino, she responded to one of Joe Biden's tweets about, like, the crisis in Ukraine. And she says, draft the unvaccinated. I thought you didn't want us. I thought you wanted us kicked out of everything. Now you want our help? Jesus. Like, here's the thing for the extreme side of the left, who are, like, kind of all in on defending Ukraine and saying we must go to war. I don't know how many people that is. I don't know if that's a small minority of what people think. I would hope to think, like, a lot of people would want to avoid conflict and war. But now you're getting all froggy saying, like, let's go to fucking war. But you're not going to be the ones with I doubt that you're going to be the ones with the boots on the ground. Like, you've been shitting on masculine people for the past 5 years. You've been shitting on the people that would fight to defend you. And now all of a sudden you just want to, like, you know, like, just supporting this war industrial complex. It's just wild, man. Okay, so, Shayla, like, I would really hope this is a troll, but I don't think it is. I don't think it is a troll. It looks like a real account, but who knows? She says, please don't let Putin distract you from the issues that really matter. # Black Lives Matter. # Ukraine Russia crisis. And then it's a fucking logo that says, Ukrainian lives don't matter until Black Lives Matter. I'm just like, man, I don't know. what can I say to that? I guess you're dedicated to your social cause, that nothing else. It just feels like it's a whataboutism. It's kind of like all lives mattering, the Ukrainian. It's like, you know, the whole complaint about all lives matter is that it's like, or, you know, I don't know if anyone says white lives matter, but it's like, it's centering, you know, the whole argument is like, don't center yourself when there's an issue going on. So it's like when the summer of 2020, like, people, you know, it's like, don't fucking center yourself as a white person. Don't fucking center yourself. These are black issues that we need to resolve. Black lives matter. If you say anything else, you're fucking centering yourself. And then here, you know, I would want to say that the citizens of Ukraine might deserve to be centered in topics of conversation, but instead we're just kind of like plastering a whole other, you know. And by the way, when I read this, I'm not saying this reflects all people who have, you know, who are fighting against police brutality and things of that nature. I'm not saying that this is the voice of the movement of people who want human decency and individual rights and, you know, black people to be treated equally and all that stuff. Like, I'm not saying that, but this is what happens. This is what happens when wokeness goes off the fucking rails. Okay, so XCX tweets out, or No Angel Charlie? No Angel Charlie. People find, like, strange names on Twitter. So this person says on Twitter, reminder, like, this one has to be a troll. This one has to be. Please be fucking trolling. Reminder not to assign gender to anyone from Ukraine when tweeting about World War III. Remember to use the correct term folks with an X when referring to all Ukrainian folks. Love, it's heart emoji. It's not hard to be inclusive of all genders in Ukraine. And even if that is trolling, I just, like, that's the mentality people have. Like, you know, you even had John Kerry, our could-be president back in the early 2000s, He basically centered, if we're going to use that term, he centered the climate crisis over the war. It's like, we need to focus on the climate crisis. And I'm like, what? It's like, if you're being invaded, you're not going to be like, let's use fucking reusable bags and plastic and paper straws. It's like, oh, there's a tank going down the road. Let me make sure I'm using a paper straw. I still got to look out for the environment. It's just like how short-sighted people are and ridiculous people are. And it's just like, man, you know, like, and I make this podcast and pointing out these memes and no disrespect to people in real conflict. And, you know, I know war is a serious thing and it's, it should be a last resort. Something that our, you know, the country that I live in, we haven't really been honoring. And, you know, I've seen some criticism on Twitter about isolationism, which is basically, you know, the United States minding our own business instead of trying to force everyone to embrace freedom or whatever, you know, not being world police. This would be sort of the thought process behind Ron Paul, and actually what makes the Trump movement or the Trump, you know, Trumpist people, I guess if you would call it, they have been accused for being isolationist. And I really do think, like, you know, there is, because the way that Trump operated was not to give in to the world, you know, the war industrial complex. And I'm not saying that the man was perfect or doesn't deserve any criticism, but he at least pissed off the people that were profiting off war. You know what I mean? Like, at least that, and at least created peace deals, which I think is a big deal. But I think, like, so many people fell into the thought process that he was a loose cannon and could cause the, like, everything people said Trump was is what Biden is doing right now. You know what I mean? Like, people thought, like, there was going to be World War III because of an action that he took back 2 years ago. And now we're here. There's one thing I will say is when you're not when you're not profiting off war, or you're not interested in profiting off war, you're less likely to go to war. And if you're actually direct and you show strong leadership and, you know, you're not a total pushover, then it's less likely for other countries to fuck with you. So here we got a meme, and this was, like, really over the top. It had not a meme. Well, I guess it was supposed to be like this statement for social justice, I guess. And it's like, look, if this, whatever, like, you've been warned before listening to this podcast. This is like the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen. So anyway, it has Derek Chauvin kneeling, you know, putting his knee on Ukraine. Basically, it cut out his knee onto Ukraine, and it's from Lily Cat's Meow, and says, "I feel like I am watching George Floyd die again, only the country version. We all stand around knowing this is wrong, but helpless to stop it. What can we do? Ukraine is George Floyd." I just fucking can't. Like, I don't even know what to comment on that. Like, you know, you have your own thoughts. I'm not even going to say shit. Cause, like, this is already just, like, over the top, fucked up, like, trying to make a statement, but totally fumbling it all. Any type of caption that I would add on to that, I don't want to be like, I just don't want to be associated with this fucking comment. Then what else do I have? Ukraine is trolling Russia on Twitter with a meme of, like, a little Putin. So basically they're in a meme war too. Stephen King said, Mr. Putin has made a serious miscalculation. He forgot he's no longer dealing with Trump. I'm just like, anyway, and I think that might be it. Oh, and then this one person, Amanda, she says, in one way, Putin did us a favor. Historically, every president running for re-election during a war has won. So we're already thinking about the election and hopefully that the war makes Biden win the next election. Fuck, man. Okay, maybe for a palate cleanser that doesn't have to do about this thing, I'll read this tweet out. This person posts a status. I go to the gas station literally every day for some reason or another. Every day the same crackhead is there. Every day I give my change after I get my stuff. My reasoning, number one, he probably needs it more than me. Number two, this gas station is kind of ghetto. If I ever get into it, that crackhead is going to back me up, because if I go, so does his daily dollar. Imagine you come at me and my pet crackhead runs up and bites your ankle. What now, motherfucker? So maybe that's a good palate cleanser. I don't know. Ah, fuck it, man. I don't know. Look, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. You know, when I say not to get hijacked by the media, because I know the common argument against that is, do you just ignore the problems in the world and you just have rose-colored glasses? No, but like, you need to take care of your mental health. And really, the media's job has been traumatizing people. And not everything you hear and see is real. And sometimes you can't, like, off the bat know what is real. Israel. By the way, when I was discussing this, another thing that I just wanted to add on here is kind of like, you know, the whole pro-Palestine movement, when the conflict between Israel and Palestine. And the thing is, I just want to say this is like, when you're pro-Palestine, do you want Israel to, you know, do you want the people of Israel to be hurt? Because like, they had to protect themselves somehow. I think there's this short-sighted thinking that people say like, well, I'm going to protect the underdog, or like, I'm going to protect the, you know, the person who, you know, just protecting the underdog. And that means that it's justice. And that means I'm standing for the right thing. But there's innocent civilians on both sides of conflicts. And there's people that are going to war fighting for their country and putting themselves at risk. And, you know, they're not fully involved in the government's decisions. And you have people going to war that are good people, good husbands, good fathers, you know, protectors, and have families at home. And it's like, you want to pray for those people too. You know, you got to look at it as a whole perspective and look at the whole picture. But anyway, as I was saying, sometimes it takes a while to get the full truth. And if I learned anything these past 2 years is, you know, how quick the media gets people to react emotionally. And then we say things that aren't quite the full story. We do things, we sabotage our businesses based off the little bit of information or misdirecting information that we get. And it's so important to pause a little bit. There's like a loud helicopter flying over. I hope it's... Stop flying over my house! I'm trying to record a podcast! Anyway, I live near an airport. So, yeah, you know, like, just take some time, question things, think before speaking, think before responding. This isn't me trying to tell you what to do or like pressure you or cancel you if you say the wrong thing, but it pays to be mindful, and it pays to own the fact that you don't have the whole story, and also be aware of what you donate to. Like, do some due diligence before you just throw money somewhere for a humanitarian cause. you know, just really do your due diligence. Because if you're not careful, your money could be just going to a political party or some Marxist mansion, you know? I hope we learned that lesson by now. Be careful what you just throw your money at to look like a good person. So that's the show today. I hope it wasn't too heavy. I hope I made you laugh a little bit. And let me know if I let you laugh a little bit. Give me a 5-star review if you think this is worthy of 5 stars. And share this with your friends and all that good stuff. It's an honor to be here. And it's an honor for you to listen to me ramble for almost an hour. Or, yeah, I guess it's been 45 minutes. It's been an honor. And also, on Monday, as recording this podcast, 2 days from when I'm recording this, Fuck Cancel Culture will be launching. And I guess this is a better time than ever. You know, like, something I noticed with the pandemic and all the things that happened in 2020, there were so many times where people and the public demanded you how to show up, when to shut up, when to pause your business, when it was okay to sell, and all that shit. And, you know, I don't know what's going on in some strange aspects of the internet. This one woman posted a booty pic. That seems to be her niche, to post booty pics. I was sent that photo. I wasn't creeping on her booty, but someone sent me the story, and she posted a booty pic, and apparently she's in Ukraine, and people were shaming her. Like, how dare you post your butt when you're being invaded? And it's like, the audacity. Like, she's being directly impacted. Maybe she can post her booty if it helps her. If it helps her ease her mind. Like, Jesus, like, what is going on here? So I don't know how much of that is going on the internet, but I just want you to know that you get to have the bravery to show up and be grounded in the midst of conflict and be emotionally centered and all that stuff, and maybe troll a little bit and hold some boundaries and all that good stuff. If you're interested in that, if you're interested in standing tall in the midst of cancel culture, you want to laugh with me too and just expand your message and have a good time, join Fuck Cancel Culture. We're starting this Monday. You can join at any time, really. Eventually, it'll be expanded into a digital course. So, you know, whenever you're listening to this, it may be the course to buy, and you can find it in the show notes or by following me on the gram at Brandon Marshall Havener or whatever other platform you can find me on. So, thank you for listening. It's been an honor, and until next time.